Hello, and welcome to this, our European Works Council training program, online, ready to go. You know, normally at this time of the year, we'd be kicking off one of our CHS programs, Managing Your Employee Relations in Challenging Times. Well, the times certainly are challenging. They've never been more challenging. COVID-19 has caused economic havoc and continues to do so, and who knows how long it will continue to do so. So obviously, we're not in CHS, and we probably won't be there for some considerable time. Who knows what the business world would look like or how things will work in the future when we finally find a way to deal with the virus effectively. So, unfortunately, we can't be in CHS. And given this, what we have decided to do is to take a key part of our CHS programme, European Works Councils, and make a series of recordings around them, a sort of European Works Councils 101, an introduction, a basic. Now, of course, a series of recordings will never be able to replicate the sort of discussions and in-person conversations that we can have in CHS, in the training room, and informally over coffee, lunch on the terrace, and in the evenings in some of the restaurants either in and around CHS. So, if, as you work through these recordings, if you have questions, please feel free to email us. We're also available and can set up individual calls with you, no matter what virtual platform or system you're using. And sometimes in early November, we hope to set up a web meeting with our team of EWC experts and those of you who work through the programme, so we can have an open and confidential discussions around issues of concern. Now, all of this is a poor substitute for CHS and in-person conversations and training, but it's the best we can do in these challenging times. Now, let me say that these recordings, this one, the introduction, is open, but the actual recordings themselves will only be available to BERG members with a password, and we'll only be issuing the password to BERG members. So how are we going to do this? Because European Works Councils are a complicated issue, and different people have different histories and cultures and traditions and approach their EWCs in different ways. So it's impossible for us to do a sort of a program like this online that catches everything. So we have to start somewhere. So what we have decided to do is to focus on the subsidiary requirements. The subsidiary requirements are the default EWC that comes into existence in the absence of an agreement between management and a special negotiating body. Understanding the subsidiary requirements gives you a baseline from which you can work, gives you a baseline from which you can negotiate an agreement, build an agreement, or maybe not. You might decide that what you have to do to secure an agreement is not worth it, and that the subsidiary requirements work better for you. Oh, years ago, management regarded the subsidiary requirements as a black box. Now, better not go there because we don't actually know what they mean. But over recent years, a number of court rulings have clarified vital aspects of the subsidiary requirements, and they no longer are a black box, though there are issues that still remain to be resolved, and we'll be talking about those as we go through this series. In other words, the subsidiary requirements have become a little bit more comfortable for management, even if not 100% comfortable. So in this series, what we're going to do is look at the following issues. Who needs an EWC, and what is the special negotiating body process? One of the key questions we'll be looking at in that is, where do you base your EWC if you are a non-EU headquartered company? Now, at the best of times, as we'll see, that's a situation and an issue that might come up two or three times a year for two or three companies which are newly negotiating EWC agreements. But it suddenly comes into very sharp focus, particularly now with Brexit. There are, in our estimate, somewhere between 150 and 200 European Works Councils legally based in the UK. It'll no longer be possible to do so after the 31st of December next. So where do they go? You know, what's new home should they be heading to? What criteria are involved in that? So something that might have been of academic interest a year or so ago is now a very real concern to very many companies, many of them BERG members. We'll then go on to look at the subsidiary requirements. What are they? What are they? And if you run an EWC under subsidiary requirements, what are you getting into? This gives you a baseline against which to measure whatever you might be thinking of, including an agreement. So what's the difference? What's the gap? You know, are there advantages, disadvantages? And of course, at the heart of European Works Councils is the actual information and consultation process, particularly in what are known as exceptional circumstances, where a company is considering a decision that may have an adverse impact on employees, such as the transfer of production or the closure of a facility or collective redundancies. You know, so what does the law and the case law now tell us that we need to know about this? Because this is the heart of what the EWC process is about. And of course, we'll be looking at all of the other issues that need to be addressed when you're dealing with an EWC. Who's responsible for the training of EWC members? What resources does an EWC have? What access to an expert can an EWC have? And what's the role of an expert? And of course, for many companies, a big one, confidentiality. You know, do you have to tell the EWC everything? Can you hold information back? And if you do give information, can it be marked as confidential so it can't be shared outside of the European Works Council? All of these issues are contested in practice with different viewpoints and different perspectives. And what we'll be presenting in this series is what we consider to be a reasonable management interpretation of the law around European Works Councils as it currently exists. And finally, and as already mentioned, we have talked about very little these days without mentioning Brexit. And we'll be looking in some detail at what Brexit means for European Works Councils. We'll be looking at the question we've already mentioned, where, when you can longer base your EWC in the UK, should you go and why should you go, or where you're thinking of going? Can British employee representatives continue to be members of European Works Councils? And what about the role of English, British, UK experts who have served European Works Councils over the years, many of whom have been extremely constructive? Some haven't been so constructive, but many have been. So where does all of this leave us with Brexit and European Works Councils? So over this series, we'll be looking at all of these issues in detail. And as I say, if you have questions as you go through it, just email us. We'll do our best to answer them as quickly as we can. And those of you who have been dealing with it over the years know we do answer the emails fairly quickly. If you'd like, because you have particular issues that you want to discuss, to set up a video call or whatever they're called nowadays with us, again, email us and we'll schedule one no matter what platform you're using. And finally, we'll see you all, I hope to see you all, at the web meeting in a few weeks' time. If you are in Sitges, this is the sort of opening we might make, and then we'd invite you the night before to the bar for an aperitif to get the program working. So if you're watching this in the evening, why don't you have an aperitif before you start watching the series? Hopefully, see you all in a few weeks' time. Thank you.